Welcome to the Heavenly Warriors Radio Network, training people all over the world to fight spiritual darkness and wickedness in heavenly places, according to Ephesians 6:12. The Lord says, His people perish for lack of knowledge. Heavenly Warriors is dedicated to spreading the knowledge of the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're tired of being a human punching bag for the devil, and you're hungry for more Holy Spirit power in your life, stay tuned.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Omega Man Radio. My name is Shannon Davis, and tonight we are live here on Tuesday, November 3rd, 2015. We've got a great lineup for you tonight. If you're coming in late, we started early with the London show with David Measures. Then we had Pastor Emmett Overton from Atlanta. We just finished with Pastor Gary Stafford and Minister Dennis Brown, the Healing Rooms. And it's an honor to bring back to you from Austin, Texas, Pastor Rick Bell. Brother Rick, we missed you, man. How you been?
Oh, brother, I missed you guys. I've been good. It's so good to be back. You know, sometimes we have to go and do, we have to do this thing called, it's an ugly four-letter word named work, W-O-R-K. And sometimes that's required to keep funding all of these things. So, you know, the Apostle Paul had to make tents. So sometimes I have to go off and make some tents, man, not literally, but figuratively. So I've been off tent making for a little while, but I'm back home for the duration now and ready to get plugged back into the Omega Man family.
Brother Rick, it's good to know that you're loved. And I had many people say, when's Brother Rick coming back on? And I said, rest assured, he will be back. He has been on the road, but he's coming back soon. And we're glad to have that day come and have Brother Rick here with us tonight. Brother Rick, before we get started tonight, you've got a full hour. I want you to open up in prayer, if you would.
I certainly will, and I sure loved those brothers before that were just on. Those guys had a real anointing on what they were saying, and I was enjoying those testimonies like you were, too. So let's just carry on. That anointing is residual, and it has begun. And let me say this before I even get into the message or pray. There is someone out there listening, I think multiple people tonight, that you have stumbled onto this. You may not be physically listening tonight when this is recorded on November 3rd. You're going to run across this in archives. You're going to hear things tonight that you've wondered about. And yes, you're going to find out that demons are real. Supernatural power is all around you. And yes, the things that you're experiencing, the weird stuff, there is an explanation for it. And there is power to overcome those things. So I'm going to pray right now. Father God, as we come to you with the power that you've given us, that you've indwelt in us, we ask that this word go forth tonight and that it accomplish what you set it out to do. I bind every demonic spirit that would come against this ministry and against this word that's going out. Every deaf and dumb spirit, you are bound. Hush and be quiet. In the name of Jesus, quiet that mind down. That confusion's trying to come on. I bind you in the name of Jesus. And Father God, we come together. You said if two shall agree as touching anything, we reach out through the airwaves right now because there is no distance in the Spirit. And we touch and we agree. Hallelujah. Amen and amen.
I agree in Jesus' name. Again, welcome everybody. We're live with Pastor Rick Bell of HeavenlyWarriors.com. Brother Rick, the mic is yours. Take it away.
Well, thank you, brother. You know, an awful lot has happened since we last spoke. In fact, things are happening so fast that it's really hard to keep up with them. And as I prayed and sought the Lord on what to bring to the family, the Omega Man family tonight, there were so many things I didn't know where to start. Have you ever been in that position? You just had so much stuff that, you know, we've got a limited amount of time here. What are we going to get into? And this is something that the Lord has he's been speaking to me for quite a while about this. And it just, he kind of put an exclamation point on it, if you will, this week. And that is that we are living in a world with an absence of truth. We're going to talk about truth tonight and how absolutely crucial and important truth is to the foundation of our society, the bedrock of our life. Without truth as a foundation, you cannot build a relationship. Some of you have been in relationships where truth was not the foundation of that relationship. And it will crumble like a house of cards built on the beach on the sand. Because you must have truth. But we are suffering through an all-out demonic attack coming from the highest levels of our government, of the church, everywhere else, that is attacking the truth. I spent quite a many few years of my life working for a person who did not operate in the truth. Let me tell you how I got there. I, like many of you, in my younger days, I wanted to go out and I wanted to conquer the world financially. I wanted to be that corporate guy, that big shot. I wanted to have that office on the corner with the big window and my name on the desk. Well, I got it. I did all of that. I pretty much sold out to do it because there's a price to pay for that. When I agreed to come and take that position that ultimately led to my success in the corporate world, the man who brought me on was a brilliant man. He was a genius. One of the smartest guys I ever knew. He was a CPA, MBA, master's degree in accounting, and just a brilliant guy. But he was brilliant in a kind of a diabolical way. He could figure things out and he could figure angles on things. And I realized that the talents that I had, God had given me some abilities in this, my particular field, as many of you know, I was in boxing, kickboxing, and that whole thing. Well, I had some knowledge on how to run those businesses and do it very well. So I knew if I teamed up with this man, I could really write my ticket and go where I wanted to go. I was selling out once again. The only problem with all of that was I would notice little things that this guy would say that weren't exactly 100% true. Let's say they would be 80% true, kind of what I would call a little white lie back then. And I noticed this, I knew it, but he continued. And he did this, and I ended up for 13 years building that man's business for him. And my end of the deal was if I would come and do all of that and bring my talents and basically be the face for his company. And it was an international company. It was not just a little local mom and pop coffee shop. This was around the world. We had clients all over in the UK, basically every country that was in the free world, we had clients. And I was the face of this company. And I did seminars and, you know, wrote magazine articles and did all this stuff. So I was out there. But this man was a liar. And as time went on, the lies got bigger. And the day that I knew I was in trouble, Shannon, was probably 5 years into this thing, and boy, we were going big guns. And I knew this guy had a lying problem. I knew that, but I overlooked it, like so many of us will do. I overlooked it because I had an agenda and I wanted what I wanted. I knew this ship was in trouble. I sat in his office one day and he began to tell me that he was actually a secret agent for the CIA.
Wow.
And I said, "You're a what?" He said, I'm a clandestine agent. You see, he had been reading all of these John Grisham novels. He would read those things. He would read these spy books. And the man started to believe that he was an agent for the CIA. And he told me this. He told me he was a handler. He would handle people in foreign countries and go do these things. And I was like, "When exactly did you do this handling?" He said, "Oh, that was back right before I met you. I was doing this stuff." So this guy, in the tales would just get taller. So long story short, I compromised. I overlooked his lack of honesty, lack of truth. When it was all said and done, that liar, that man, embezzled from that company something over nearly $2 million, which was a lot of money straight from the clients. I didn't have anything to do with it. I didn't know about it, of course, but he was a liar. And that is where it will always end up when you are involved with it. There's something in a court of law that they will say that they want you to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Because anything else is a lie. And our nation right now is living through a lie. One big lie. Now, I want to read this to you. This is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 11 and 12. And it says, "And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." You see, we're at a time in this nation where we take great pleasure in unrighteousness. We have voted people into office that hold wicked viewpoints. Their attitudes toward things that God has said are an absolute abomination, out and out murder of unborn children. These people fight to keep it not only legal, but common practice. In 2012, I, like probably many of you, I know many of my Christian friends, were absolutely devastated when Barack Obama was reelected as president of the United States. Now, let me say before I go into this, I'm basically at this point in my life apolitical, which means I don't care for the Democrats, I don't care for the Republicans, I don't care for the independents, the whomever, whatever, because basically they've shown that they're not operating in the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I started out, I never cared much about politics. I was just a happy-go-lucky guy that was kind of enjoying life. I was a police officer, but I had a kind of an outgoing personality, and I was well-liked. So, and this is exactly what happened to me. This is not something I read in a John Grisham novel. I know this because I did it. I went through it. So I'm this young police officer. I'm 26, I think. Yeah, 26 or 27. And these people approach me that are the power brokers, the money people, if you will, in my home area. And they said, "We want you to run for an office. I want you to run for constable." It's an elected position. And I said, I don't know anything about politics. I don't want to run for an office. So they persisted and they talked me into running for office. Now, they said, "You're going to run on the Democratic ticket. You're going to be a Democrat." I said, "Oh, okay. It's okay with me." I didn't think much about Democrats or Republicans. When I was a kid growing up, I was a member of a club called the Young Republicans, but that was nothing but a social club. Not just the only reason I joined that was because a real pretty girl that I wanted to be boyfriends with was in the thing. So I said, "Yeah, I'll go." It was a junior high thing. So these money people talked me into running for constable on the Democrat ticket. And they said, oh, you'll win. I said, how am I going to win? I don't know anything about campaigning or doing any of this. They said, "No, you'll win. Here's what you do." And this is what they told me. They sent me to a politician on a national level, and that's as far, I don't want to name this person because it, you know, but anyway, this person was a successful national politician, and he said, "Here's what you do. You take this envelope and you stuff it with money, and you take it over to this lady, And when you give her that envelope, she'll deliver the votes for you. I said, I don't understand. What do you mean? She can only vote one time. He said, oh, no. No, she goes to the nursing homes. He laughed. He said, she'll even go to the cemetery and get you some votes. And he was serious. So I asked him, well, how much do I need to put in the envelope? He told me, a couple $100. Put it in there. He said, now remember, he said, this is stamp money. Stamp, like postage stamp. He said, you have to call this stamp money. If anybody asks what you're doing giving this lady the money, this is stamp money. I said, okay, stamp money. So I went through this deal, and I was elected. And I was the most surprised guy of the whole deal. But I did the steps they told me to take, and it worked because it's all set up. It's all rigged. It's all, the outcomes are known. So one of the things I got to do, and you're going to find this ironic, as I was on security detail, and a constable versus being a police officer, you're under a regiment of, you take orders. In other words, they tell you where to go, what to be as a police officer. When you're the constable, you're like the sheriff. You're the head of the department. So you're like the chief of police. You go wherever you want to go, do what you want to do. So one of the things I did, I was on the security detail for Hillary Rodham Clinton, of all people, when Bill Clinton was running for president the first time. She came and campaigned in our town. And so I was one of the guys that was the head of the security thing, team working with the Secret Service and all. And I met her, shook her hand and all of that, and didn't think much more about it. So in 2012, when Barack Obama was reelected, I was sure hoping that the nation would speak and say, wait a minute, this man has lied to us. And again, I'm not bashing anyone. I'm bashing everyone. I'm not being selective here. I'm just speaking the truth. In 2012, he was reelected. And man, I was feeling bummed out, Shannon, like so many. So when I get to feeling that way, a lot of times I'll just take a walk or take a run, go for my little get out for an hour or two. So I'm on my run, and the Holy Spirit began to speak to me. This is 2012, and I've said this before. It's been out there, but not in this detail like I'm saying now. In 2012, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Hillary Clinton will be the next president of the United States.
No.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hang on, buddy. Hang on. Oh, man. He said, Hillary Clinton,
Jesus,
will be the next president of the United States. And I'm just getting quiet, and listening, because I want to hear what God's got to say. He says, when that happens, Queen Jezebel will have completely taken control of the country. I said, oh, Jesus. He said, that is what you're dealing with in Hillary Clinton. The spirit of Queen Jezebel, Ahab's wife. Some of you know the story. Some of you are familiar with. You just know that name Jezebel has gone down as a very derogatory name. When you call someone a Jezebel, it means that she is a very controlling spirit. And Jezebel, I don't have time to go into it now, but if you do a search and just read about Jezebel and some of the things that she did, go to 1 Kings 21 and read about how she conned and set up a man so her husband Ahab could steal his vineyard. I mean, this is right out of some of the playbook of what's going on right now. So the Holy Spirit says, Hillary Clinton will be the next president. Now, at the time, I'm hoping against hope. Man, surely, Lord, I didn't hear that. That was just something in my mind that was speaking that. And Shannon, as all of these things have begun to occur to her, like this email scandal, this whole Benghazi debacle. I don't know if you followed that or saw any of that, that they telecast. She went before the House committee and had to answer the questions on Benghazi. And she walked away completely scot-free. I mean, there were no repercussions, and she sat there and lied. She went out and told the American public that this attack was because of a video. You know she said it. I know she said it. It's on film in a million places. But she sits there and says, no, that's not what I said. And we as the American people go, okay, let's move on. You see, because we have sold out to that delusion, that very same thing that the Bible says God will send strong delusion, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And the Lord showed me, because when the things started to occur with her email and all that, I thought, oh, this is going to do her in. There's no way. Shannon, have you ever known of a politician, I mean on either side of the aisle, Democrat, Republican, that could possibly survive what the scandal she's already survived? Have you ever seen anything like that in your lifetime?
No, sir, because the evidence just was mounted against her. You know, there's a movie coming out in January, I think, called 13 Hours about Benghazi. People know that she lied. We know that she's got a long history of being untrustworthy, yet she seems to dodge every bullet.
I've never seen anything like it, because there is a supernatural element involved. You understand what you're watching is not a natural progression of things. No one could sustain and overcome the hits she's already taken. We already know she's lying to us. But it doesn't matter, because we've chosen the pleasure of unrighteousness, and she'll get elected if she runs. Barring God can change anything. He can turn it on a dime and switch directions. But the fix is in. And there's a reason. This is going to blow your mind, man. As I'm seeking the Lord, saying, God, what is the deal with all of these scandals? And no one is questioning her. She's going to move right along. And she's going to get that Democratic Party nomination. And she's going to win the election. And the Lord told me, this is powerful. He said, He is allowing all of those scandals to come out so His people will know exactly who she is when they allow her to be voted in. They will have no excuse. They will know who she is, but they will allow her to be voted in. You see, and I often say this, and I'm joking in a way, but I'm not really joking. My dad was a World War II veteran. He went to fight the Japanese in 1941, right after they bombed Pearl Harbor. He signed up as a 17-year-old kid. Went and did that. Gunner on a ship, came home. Was just an average guy, hardworking guy, worked every day of his life. Drank a lot. Just a rough guy. The war messed him up. But I'm telling you right now, Shannon, my dad died in 1987. It's been a long time ago. If he were alive today and he turned on the television and he saw what was going on in Washington, D.C. with the lying and the deceit, I'm quite sure my dad would take his 30-06 deer rifle, put it in the gun rack in the back of his truck, start heading to Washington, D.C. just as fast as his GMC pickup truck would get him there, And I would have to be calling the highway patrol to please stop him because he's going up there to shoot someone. That's how outraged he would be. And how in the world did we get to this point where there's no more truth in the land? We have just sold out to what is really the God of pleasure. We're all about our pleasure, and that's the reason we're not marching on Washington right now demanding some answers. You know what? The Christians, those who are called by his name, would rise up. We could elect anyone we wanted to. You know that, don't you, Shannon? We have the numbers to do that, to take this country over, to take it back. But we don't do that because we're more interested in our pleasure than we are the truth, even when we know we're being lied to. And I use myself as an example in the story I told you at the beginning of this broadcast, when I compromised so that I could build my career along with this person who was not honest. But I sacrificed my principles for that. And in the end, it was a disaster. It's a train wreck. That's what we're doing as a people. Last week, I visited a church with some friends. And this is probably the most, one of the most popular, certainly the fastest growing church in the area where I live is somewhat outside of Austin, Texas. And this is actually the most affluent and growing economy in the United States, this area where I live. So people, when I say they're flooding in, I mean, it's like we have a refugee problem, but they're not refugees. They're all, you know, professional people pouring in, buying houses, and it's growing. I've never seen a place grow this fast. So this is one of the, if not the fastest growing young church, and was invited to go there. And I went, I knew what I was going to find, but you know, sometimes I just have to go and remind myself what's really going on. So we go, and they have three services, an early service, like a 9 o'clock, a 10:30, and then I think maybe an 11:30, something like that. And there, the service is an hour long. I mean, on the dot, you set your clock by it. You're going to be out of there in an hour. So I go, and people are parked blocks away. You couldn't cram any more people in there. Beautiful building, you know, coffee, Starbucks inside the thing, and people have their coffee and they kind of, you know, meander into the auditorium. And dude, I mean, I've been in the music business for a long time. I've seen a lot of venues. This thing is set up. This is the nicest concert venue I've ever seen, man, and it's a church. I mean, when you walk in it, you'll think you're in some $150 a ticket concert deal somewhere. The lighting, the everything, the smoke and all that, it is a production. Absolute. You know, the band starts and their music, it sounds just like it's a CD player, and it's just everything's tightly scripted. The guy walks out at a certain moment, and he makes a little announcement, and then the music swells up. And you kind of get the idea. So this whole production is going on, and I tell you, there are two dudes sitting in front of me in this church, and I have some spiritual discernment, you know? Yeah, that comes along with the deliverance ministry. And these two guys, they've got a homosexual spirit all over them. I mean, it's on them. I see it. And they're sitting real close together and kind of whispering in each other's ear and doing the thing that I would be doing with my wife. You know, that kind of little giggly thing and talking and, you know, little stuff you do in church. And these guys are sitting right in front of me. So, you know, service goes on, and I'm getting that feeling, because when you're into deliverance ministry, and you know this, when you're around spirits, that homosexual thing's a strong spirit. It is a very difficult spirit to deal with. And so it's two of them right there. And I mean, I'm not homophobic, man. I'm not tearing the dudes down. But I know what the Bible says about it all. So here we are in this place, and music's going, and I'm just wondering what his sermon's going to touch on. And of course, it's a motivational 18-minute speech, sermonette, and all of his marks, his cue marks on the stage, where he'll walk to the right and pause for just a moment, and then he'll walk back to the left, pause right on the spot where the spotlight hits him a certain way. And so we go through the whole thing, and I mean, you can set your clock to it, 59 minutes. It's over. You're walking out of there. If you would, quote, like to stick around for some prayer, there will be some people to pray with you. And that, I mean, that's the extent of the altar call, quote. But most people want to get out of there and get another Starbucks on the way home. So all of that is just to say that the people there, I sought the Lord, and I said, Lord, what is it? I know we're in the itching ears thing. I know that we're at a time when the people want to hear what they want to hear. And God said the reason they like that type of preaching is it's ethereal. It means that it's nebulous. It's theoretical. It's out there. It's kind of they say a lot, but they don't really say anything. You know what I'm talking about, Shannon? They have a lot of words, but you don't really know what the guy said when you get out of there. You feel good. You feel better. And I liken it to this. I call it politician speak. And the politicians are great at this. They can talk for an hour and you don't know what they've said. The master of it, the best guy I've ever seen, is John Kerry. Secretary of State John Kerry. He said something the other day, and every time I see him on, I want to hear what he has to say, because he says the craziest, most ridiculous things. He must hire people to sit and find these words to put these sentences together where no one can get any meaning from it. This is what he said. I wrote it down. John Kerry, he was talking about the talks with Iran and the nuclear deal talks, and this is what he said, quote, now you tell me if you know what this means, quote, we are hopeful that potential developments bring new promise in the progress we're making. What does that mean, Shannon? Let me read it again and you tell me. We are hopeful that potential developments bring new promise in the progress we are making. What does it mean?
What does it mean, except that the plans of the New World Order
that's exactly
are being accomplished, their agenda,
right,
not ours.
You're right, Shannon. You're right, and this is happening. See, we're living in a truth vacuum. The truth has been sucked out of the world. So spiritual warriors out there, Holy Ghost gem people, what you have to do is you're going to have to guard your input. Realize that the world and the world's ways are a lie. It's all a lie. Don't get sucked into that. As I looked in that mega church on Sunday morning at the people in there, and they're all, you know, affluent people. They're all driving new cars, not rich people, but they're kind of into the way they look. And I saw the spirit of pride. That's the problem in the church. That's the deal. You don't have a bunch of drug addicts in there, or a bunch of bank robbers, or, you know, murderers. You have a bunch of prideful people that like to look a certain way, and, oh, they're okay with a form of godliness, but they're going to deny the power, because don't get into that Holy Ghost stuff. Don't start talking about that. Oh, and deliverance? Nah, I don't know about that stuff's out there. And that's the general, attitude of the church of 90% of them. And the latest research bears that out. The Barner Group has done research that basically bears the statistics out that the majority of the church world doesn't even believe in the supernatural. But it's popping up in our face more and more because, listen, there is a lack of truth in the land. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What's the opposite of free? Bondage.
That's right.
So if you don't know the truth, and the truth makes you free, then the opposite of that is you're in bondage. We are all systematically being set up for bondage. The truth is the only thing to break us out of what we've chosen this. We've fallen into this thing. And the world's going to tell you, that's kooky. That stuff's out there. As I've told you before, I try to keep up with some of these paranormal shows. And there are so many of them now, I can't keep up with them all. Because, Shannon, there is a flood of paranormal activity, and there are probably five times as many shows as there were even 2 years ago, maybe a year ago.
It's true.
You know this. They are flooding because there's so much happening in the spirit. There was October 30th, there was this thing called a live deliverance on television. You know, they've been advertising it for 2 months for the first time ever. A live exorcism is what they called it. They didn't call it deliverance. A live exorcism on network TV. And they went live to this house, and it was the house of the original movie, The Exorcist, where the real thing happened to the young boy in 1956, or actually 1949. The actual boy that it happened to, The Exorcist, was based on a true story that it really happened. They have it documented. They had many eyewitnesses. So this is not some hocus pocus made up stuff. But they went inside that house and they took their team of, quote, paranormal investigators and their, quote, exorcists and their psychic. So the psychic was probably the only one of the three of, you know, all the groups that was actually what he was supposed to be. He was a psychic. He was definitely in tune with the demonic world, speaking to them. So here they are, and they go in there and go through this exorcism, and they're doing this incense, the Catholic Church thing and all that. And I realized, oh my gosh, they don't have a clue. They have no idea what they're dealing with or what they're doing. But what they did was the general attitude and belief system of the general American public. If you ask them about exorcism and stuff, they would say, oh, that's why you do it. That's what you do. And anyone who's done deliverance knows that they didn't do anything right. The demons were just laughing at them. Oh, and they were there. They were doing stuff. The demons were, you know, moving stuff around and opening doors and stuff while they're there on live television. And you're going to see more and more of that because there is a vacuum of truth. And there are portals being opened right now as we speak, demonic portals. I encourage everyone, when this show is over and it's, you know, got about 10 more minutes, you need to go to my website, heavenlywarriors.com, and there is a video on the front page there of an actual portal that a young lady recorded with her cell phone. And I did an interview with this person, and it will blow your mind. You will see an actual portal that she recorded outside her bathroom window on different occasions with her cell phone. Totally undoctored, nothing. You couldn't do anything to this video to make it look this way. But when we're done here, go to my website. It's a, I don't know, 10-minute little deal. It's not that long, 10, maybe 12-minute video. But you're watching an opening of these portals all over the world. Now, when that's happening, there's an increase in the demonic power in this realm. This is what I want you to understand. The things I've been telling you for months now, that you must get your demonic strongholds, your addictions under control of the Holy Spirit. They have to be gone. You've got to get all of those areas in your life where you struggle. You're going to have to get in the best shape of your life now, because the demonic power in this world is increasing. There, when you see these portals on that video I'm talking about, they're pouring in, they're flooding in to this realm. As they continue to do that, you will see the Hillary Rodham Clinton Jezebel spirit take over. It's happening, and we're going to let it happen, because the demons and the, of all varieties, the demons of complacency that just get you, well, I'm good enough, I'm all right like I am, I'm okay, you're okay. I don't know about all that supernatural stuff. That's not my definition of, you know, I don't have a problem with that. I don't define that as a problem. I just define that as just a personality trait. All of that stuff, however you define it, doesn't matter. It goes out the window. Because there's an increase right now, and this goes for all of us, U.S., us. We're going to have to get ourselves in the best shape of our life spiritually, because the things you struggled with are going to get they're going to come back with a vengeance. If you're not struggling with them now, they're going to try to come back, and you're going to have to be in really good shape to deal with this. There's nothing else that's going to carry us through but the Holy Spirit. And I know a lot of people were expecting something catastrophic to happen, and there were a lot of words that went forth for September, October, that time frame. You know, something bad was going to happen, and I was feeling it like everyone else. And I sought the Lord, and I said, Lord, why didn't that thing happen that was, you know, we all thought was going to happen? And the Lord basically said, you don't know what happened during that time. You don't know what happened behind the scenes. But the other thing is, prayer changes things. Prayer holds off things, catastrophes sometimes. See, there's a war going on in the heavenlies right above your head, Shannon. Right above my head, right above all the listeners' heads. There is warfare going on up there. And when God's army is activated and attacking and praying, there are things that are set in motion that don't come to fruition because we beat it back in the spirit realm. You feel what I'm saying? That's the key. That's why it's so important to get and pray like you've never prayed before. Because some of these things God is giving us, hallelujah, this Holy Spirit's all over me right now. The anointing's right in this room. So God's giving us, the reason He's holding back some of these things is to give you, I'm talking to you, just a little more time to get your stuff in order. You know who I'm talking to. God, the gracious Heavenly Father, is giving you a little more time to get those things dealt with that you must get dealt with. Because there will come a time when that demonic power will be so strong that if you are not saturated in Holy Spirit power, if you are not walking in abundant Holy Spirit anointing, you're going to get sucked down the black hole. And whatever it is, whether it's depression you struggle with, whether it's alcohol, low self-esteem, a pride issue, whatever it is, it's going to strengthen. It's going to start coming on you more and more. So we're living in this world where there's an absence of truth. You'll start to see this everywhere you look. You see it in advertising all the time. The entire, basically, the world of advertising is built on persuasion, which means convincing someone of something, that a belief they didn't have before. You're persuading them. And a lot of that is, it's not honest. It's persuasive. It'll talk you into buying something. If you've ever bought, if you've ever gone to a car lot just to look, but you end up walking out of there with a new car, and you get home, you say, how did that happen? I just went to look. You go to any place that sells stuff, and you just go to look, there's a high chance you're going to walk out of there. You've bought something because they close you. It's called closing. They get you to buy what they're selling. So you live in a world of, you're being closed all the time. You're hearing things, and you are going to have to put the filter of the Holy Spirit on your ears and your eyes to filter out when it's not the truth. If you're sitting in your church, and you may have been a member of that church for a long time, but if they're not telling you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, then you're going to have to find another place to be, or just go and start your own home study group. I know that sounds drastic for many of you, but if they're not preaching the whole truth, and very few of them are, because when you preach the whole truth, it breaks people out of their comfort zone. You think people like to hear about their addictions and how those addictions are going to shackle them and lock them up? They're literally a slave to sin. People don't like to hear that stuff. Man, they want to hear the positive stuff. Lift me up. That's what sells in churches, basically in the business of selling motivational speaking. So you, as that child of the Most High, baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to have to be that truth beacon that's out there. And you're going to have to tell people the truth in love, because there is a tsunami of lies coming. And don't get discouraged when you watch Hillary Clinton continue to move forward in this political process, and you scratch your head and you say, how in the world is that happening? How can this be? And no one is calling her into account. No one is holding her accountable. Not the Republicans, not anyone, Trey Gowdy on the select committee or any of that. She basically skated right through that, because those spiritual forces are driving so that we can get Queen Jezebel running this country. Oh, God help us. You see, the name Jezebel is derived from a Phoenician name. And guess what it means? It means serve Prince Baal, the god of Baal.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, look it up. Prince Baal, honor to Prince Baal. So we're getting ready to put Prince Baal in charge of this whole thing. So what you have to do, you got to be responsible for you. Let every person work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. Start with you. Do the work God puts before you to reach people, pray for them, get them saved. But you got to get you cleaned up and ready to go to withstand in the evil day, because the evil day, it's right upon us. And the top of the hour is right upon us too, Brother Shannon, so I'm going to hand it back to you, my brother, and it's really good to be back.
Rick, if Hillary Clinton Jezebel gets in office, brother, we'll never see another election. We thought it was bad with Obama. I remember this lady back in the 90s when Clinton got into office. If it wasn't bad enough what he was doing, this girl, she was holding closed-door meetings, which was illegal. Okay? She was the spouse of the president. She's not an elected official.
Absolutely right.
Has any legal right to hold closed-door meetings with members of industry and healthcare organizations, and was trying to draft and fast-track the healthcare healthcare national ID card. Do you remember that?
Absolutely. That was illegal. She had no authority to do any of that.
She's been in politics a long time. Before that, I think that she was actually active back in Watergate. And she was caught doing some legal things back then, if I recall the whole story. I'm amazed that she's been around that long. But she has. And, you know, there was one scandal after the next. And then is, you know, running the State Department.
It's unbelievable. It's comical.
Brother, these people need to retire and get out of there. But they'll try to hang on till their last day.
They will.
All the damage that they can, Kerry included. But, you know, I saw the story of what happened at Benghazi. And these were the special forces operators that were told to stand down.
Yeah.
Okay, they were told not to go in and give aid to over, you know, I think 25-plus American personnel that were working over there in that compound at the embassy. Residents. And basically, they were going to, the State Department, our country, our government had abandoned those people. But the special forces operator said, not on our watch, and three plus men went over there, got up on the rooftop, and they helped those, you know, American personnel escape out of there, and they put their life at risk and came under fire, got shot. They took out, you know, a horde of thugs that had come in there to raid that compound. And, you know, the rest of the story, people are going to be able to find out when the movie, I think, 13 Hours comes out. That's going to be a good one. I tell you, there's two blockbuster movies I don't want to miss. One is The True Story of Benghazi, okay? And then the other one is the Oliver Stone movie about Snowden, Edward Snowden.
Yeah, Oliver Stone will get to the bottom of it. He'll dig it. He's
an American hero.
Yeah,
he'll dig it. Because, you know, he showed what the government's doing.
Yeah.
You know, the agenda of these guys like Kerry who make these nebulous statements. What are they talking about?
What are they saying? You know, what does it mean? It means nothing. See, you can't pin them down. If they don't say anything, you can't hold it against them. And you're exactly right. The Benghazi thing, I have a friend who is prophetic, and she told me a year ago, maybe longer than that, she said, you watch this Benghazi thing, this Benghazi. There's something about this Benghazi. She didn't know what it was, but she knew that there was something to it. But what we're seeing is Hillary Clinton is being exposed, Shannon. She's been exposed since the 90s for who she is, who Bill Clinton is. And in more ways than one, he's been exposed. Okay? And we still laud this man. This man is still, as they say, a rock star. In the Democratic Party? Are you kidding me? How many women do you know, forget being in the international limelight, how many women do you know that privately would have gone through what Hillary Clinton did with Bill Clinton and not said, buddy, how long do you need to pack? Because I'm loading the shotgun. I mean, how many women do you know that would have gone through that thing and stood by her man and just kept on keeping on? I mean, I know about forgiveness and all that stuff, but that's not normal, buddy. There's another agenda going on. You see, she needed to stay into that power position so all these pieces could come into place like you're seeing it unfold right now. And it defies logic. That's the thing. You know, there's demonic hands involved in this when it is defying logic, not once, but over and over and over, like a pattern. When you see a pattern that's defying logic, you can bet there's some supernatural drivers behind that. And you're going to watch this thing unfold, and you're going to see things escalate. There's going to be a tremendous escalation. You're in the quiet right now. This is a relatively quiet. There was a lot of activity, and you'll agree with this, throughout the summer and, you know, into the fall. There was a lot of spiritual stuff we were picking up in the spirit. And now it's kind of just it's quieted down. Have you noticed the same thing, Shannon?
I have.
Yeah. It's just, it's a kind of a quiet, and that's never good when it's a quiet before a storm, but all of the pieces are getting in place and they're getting aligned.
And well, I'm angry at seeing what's happened. One administration after the next.
Yeah. I used to have some faith in at least the Republicans were opposite the Democrats. I've lost all faith in that. They're the same coin, just the other side of the coin, man.
Brother, it is. I mean, we had George Bush Sr. Okay, then we had Bill Clinton. Okay, back to George Bush Jr. Back to abomination. And now it's going to be a runoff between Jeb Bush and Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, that's what it looks like it'll be.
God have mercy. This is a puppet.
Are you kidding? Of all the people in the United States of America qualified to be president of the United States, are you serious? We need another Clinton and another Bush? Are you kidding me? What? How? That's preposterous. The fix is in, man.
If one of those get in office, we'll never make it through. Yeah. I don't believe the country will be able to hold it together. They've already done enough damage. What has happened in the last 8 years has it almost destroyed this country. Yeah. You know, she'll put the final nail in the coffin, her and her husband.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is the same couple who presided over the Waco Holocaust.
That's right.
When I moved out to Austin, Texas in 2003, I was out there for a while. I went through Waco. And I stopped by, I parked the car, I walked the compound out there, I looked where the graves were, you know, I looked at the Holocaust, the burnt, charred vehicles that were still there, that little mini museum at the time, bullet casings that they gave orders through Janet Reno to mow down that compound there, then drop in gas. And as people were trying, and then it got ignited, and as the thing was on flames, and the kids, or the people were trying to escape out the back, they were mowing them down. And then they went into the, that area underground, and they burned to death.
Yeah.
They fried those kids over there. And we're going to put her back in office? That was just one of the many atrocities. What about the Clinton body count? Do you remember that, Rick?
I remember it all, man. Listen, I lived in Texarkana, Arkansas, which is half of it's in Arkansas and half of it's in Texas. It's one city. There's a Texarkana, Texas side, and there's literally a main street. If you walk across that street, you're on what they call the Arkansas side. When I lived there, and this was in the late 80s, this is where I got my black belt, was there in around 1980, and they talked about the governor of Arkansas, Bill Clinton. And they talked about this place called Mena, Arkansas, I was in the music business there. In other words, I played in bands with other musicians. Guess what? Musicians knew where the drugs were coming from. Imagine that. So they would talk about going up to Mena, where these planes would land, and there was this runway from Mena, Arkansas. I heard all about that stuff before anybody else knew about it. And I didn't care. I wasn't into drugs. That stuff didn't. But it was common knowledge. So, yes, Shannon, the body count, the people who mysteriously, die after being involved with the Clintons. All of that. If you look back on that, it's mind-blowing. If you look back into all of that stuff and listen to these people, and once again, it's beyond coincidence. It can't be coincidental. And the thing that is just, again, staggering my conscience is how in the world this woman can get by with lying and she's not being called into account. We have stepped into some sort of parallel reality, Shannon. Really, we have. Something's turned upside down on us here. We're out of the reality.
For the youngsters tuning in out there, there was over 80 to 100 people that were closely associated with the Clintons that died mysteriously. Crashes, they stabbed themselves, Vince Foster, one scandal after the next. The Marine chopper with his bodyguards going down. Was it Ron Brown?
Yeah.
That went down in an airplane?
Yeah.
And he was still alive at the crash?
Yeah. And they killed him.
They killed him, folks. People were dying left and right.
Yeah.
Okay. That could expose that diabolical group that had taken over the White House. They were wicked. He was impeached on top of all that.
And he's a rock star. That's what, after all that, they hail him as a hero. I mean, more than half the country does. So, and you know, when we're talking about this stuff, Shannon, there's a price to pay. Trust me. They know when we're talking about this. And here's something that was brought to my attention just this last week. This guy was filming me playing the guitar and whatever. And he filmed it and he put it out somewhere. It was like on YouTube or whatever. And he said within, I don't know, 10 minutes or something, they had contacted him and said, oh, you know, you can't have that song out there. It's copyrighted and blah, blah. So he took it down. He said, so that kind of struck me strange. And here's the other thing. So this guy has a restaurant, okay? And he's put together this menu, and it's he did a little kids kind of a menu part, all right? Now, on his kids menu, he happens to have a background in graphic art, so he put a little Bugs Bunny character on the kids menu, you know, so the kids have a little thing to color or whatever. Well, he put that menu online on his website. This guy told me within 10 minutes, his phone rang, and the person on the other end said, this is so-and-so legal department. You have to get that Bugs Bunny off the internet right now.
Holy cow.
Yeah, within 10 minutes. He said, it's a copyright infringement. So this guy's telling me, he says, are you kidding me? He said, they've got some sort of algorithm that they know. When you're saying something or something, apparently it recognizes figures or characters. He said, we have no idea how advanced all this technology is. Now, that happened to this guy. Within 10 minutes, he said, they called and demanded he take Bugs Bunny off of the website. He said, that's copyrighted material. He said, he said, how did you know that? They said, well, we just discovered it.
Rick, it's true. We have Pastor Joseph Ferrara that comes on Monday nights.
Yeah.
7 o'clock. And he'll break out into an a cappella song sometimes.
Yep.
You know Brother Joseph. You love his music.
Yes.
I do. And we've been doing the YouTube now for about 2 months. So he's broadcasting right up on YouTube. No sooner had that program posted, I got a copyright violation from YouTube. And they said the song that you're playing is copyrighted. Now, we didn't even have any instrumentation to it.
Yep, yep.
They were able to extract the lyrics from his vocals tied into some song back in the 60s. And they said, you can pull it, or we can go back to the owner of the copyright and see if he'll let you keep it and share the revenue. Brother, I've got hit slammed on SoundCloud as well.
Yep.
What am I saying with this? The software is so
yes
advanced.
Yes.
And they scan an audio file yes and tell you whose song it belongs to.
Yes. And Shannon, that should scare the daylights out of every one of us broadcasters, because what that means is they can not only discern songs and copyright, they can discern what they quote unquote call hate speech. You see, so when you and I are mentioning the Clintons on this thing, that is going to an algorithm somewhere that's popping up on their information division people, whatever, in their war room, as they call it. They know that. Now, Shannon, that should scare the daylights out of you. I mean, I'm telling you, that was an eye-opener. I had no idea they could do that.
Well, with what you just told me about the images, that's amazing. You know what? We've been talking about this for years. People laughed about it. They said that's impossible. They thought you and I were, and others were nuts, Rick. Mm-hmm. And with the revelations of Edward Snowden,
yeah,
the guy that put his life on the line, yeah, he's on the run right now. If he comes back to America, they'll lock him away and probably do him in.
Yeah, he'll have an accident in prison. Trust me.
We'll never hear from the guy again. He's considered a traitor because he betrayed the power elite. But he told you and I out there, folks, what the government is doing and they're capable of. Everything is being monitored. Every telephone call, every email, this program that we're doing, Skype, okay?
Everything.
Every cell phone call. Folks, it's not just being monitored, it's being recorded.
That's right.
That's why they had to build that huge facility. Where is it? Is it out in Utah?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah.
It's massive, folks. It can record every call, not only America, but the entire world, that can be intercepted.
Biggest computer in existence. Yeah.
You say, but the CIA doesn't spy on us. Oh, yes, yes, they do, folks. Look, I worked with in security part-time while I worked for the DOD for over 6.5 years. And I've told this story before, but I'll just mention this one detail. One of the guys that I used to relieve on the weekends at the security post, I worked part-time to make extra money to security. He was ex-CIA, Rick. He was actually drafted during NAM. He worked with the agency for over 20 years as a field agent. And he was a very smart guy. And he was doing research on the Buckyball at that time, which was, you know, chemical engineering for biological weapons.
Right.
And he was studying. He was one of 10 universities that were working on the research, and it was compartmentalized so that nobody knew what the overall game plan was, but each of them worked on a small piece. And amazing guy. But I asked him one time, I said, okay, so you worked for the agency. Is it true that there's a ban on assassinations of American citizens? Because at that time there was. This was back in 95. And he said, look, you get on the wrong side of the agency, you will find yourself floating face down in the Potomac River. He told me, you know, we haven't stopped killing. And then during Bush's presidency, you know, he came out and they supposedly lifted the ban. But folks, everything that Snowden has said is true. Rick has been bumping into this stuff. I've been bumping into it here on the internet. If they're monitoring songs, if I can hold my smartphone out in the air and it can sniff just, you know, a few seconds of a song and tell you who it is.
That's right.
Folks, everything that has been said about voice recognition, okay, to be able to archive our phone calls is being done. I had a guy who was installing one time, it was Dish Network before I switched to cable a few years ago. He told me one time, I said, what, you've been doing this all your whole life? You're great, you know, in this installation. He said, I used to work on a special project, and I would go out to this building. It was the size of a Walmart with no windows. It was a big data center, and it, for the most part, it had robotic equipment in there that was basically archiving phone calls, he said, and he would go in there to service some of the equipment. That's all he told me. I said, so it's true what I heard, and this was before Snowden admitted to it, you know, and he started to release the documents. You know, this stuff is being recorded. The question is why? Because they're afraid of you and I, folks.
They are.
And they want their power.
And here's the thing that people need to understand, what an algorithm is. It is a computer formula that requires no manual effort. In other words, you may say, well, you know, so they're recording my cell phone call and 600 million others today. So what are they going to do with that? Here's how an algorithm works. They don't have to do anything. Your call is recorded and it's logged in this data center.
Yes.
And it is plugged through automatically. No one touches it. It goes through this algorithm and all of the words that you use are pulled out. And if this is done in a nanosecond, this is not something that takes a week to do. It's done instantly. So, it is estimated that the average American adult breaks 4 laws a day. I mean, I read this statistic somewhere a long time ago. 4, 5, or 6 laws a day. The average person, that you just living your life, you know, you break these laws because nobody even knows you're breaking them. You're not a criminal, but that's just how it works. So if the government wants to come at you, they can do it. And here's how they'll do it. Your name's John Doe. And they say, you know, we're wanting to get you to stop doing this thing. You need to cooperate with us. And you say, this is a free country. I'm not going to do that. I have a free will. And they say, well, yeah, you know. But you remember that time that you said so-and-so about so-and-so? And you say, what? I've never had that conversation in my life. And they say, well, yeah, we've got you saying it. Because what they did was all they had to do with an algorithm is go to their computer. You know how you do a Google search? They go to their little Google thing and they put in John Doe, the word Obama, I hate Obama. And they push the button and instantly every conversation you've ever had on a cell phone or on an email pops up on their computer with those words in it. Do you understand? That's the danger of this thing. They've got you in. They're not going to have to go spend a month on manpower to search out what you said. When they can find Bugs Bunny in 10 minutes, we are in trouble, folks.
Folks, it's done at lightning speed. You know, I've noticed that even in my Yahoo Mail system, and I've got thousands of emails, believe me, and I usually, I sometimes I can't even read them all. The bottom line is, if I need to find something, I can go up to that search box and I can put one word in, Rick, yep. And it will pull up a list of anything in the mailbox, anything in my sent box, anything in the folder. It will search everything within a few seconds.
Yeah.
And find anything with that one keyword.
Yep.
The technology's there. You know, for years you've been, you know, it used to be, remember 411?
Oh, yeah.
Computer assistance. Now, you know, then you started with this computerized voice that came on and you would tell them, you know, the name that you're looking for.
Yes,
in the city.
Yes.
What state? Okay. They had that kind of voice recognition. They were able to remove the operator years ago.
Yes.
We're so advanced now that everything is being checked in real time. And it's being archived.
Yes.
Okay, so
yes.
They can go back in time now. That's what Snowden said. And begin to, you know, it's pre-crime.
That's
they
right.
can begin to put a dossier and, you know, predict who may be a threat to the elite.
That's right.
And then they put you on the watch list. I'll tell you something. Did you have a chance, Rick, to see the special the other day on John McAfee?
I did not see that, no.
It was really it was like an hour long. I don't know if it was 20, 60 minutes. I forget one of these specials here. The bottom line is they did a hit piece on this guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was really a sarcastic program, and they painted him in a very bad light. But they're afraid of this guy. And the reason being, you know, this is a smart guy. McAfee, he created, you know, one of the top antivirus
right.
software of all time. That in Norton, right?
Right.
Okay, he sold out for like $150 million, moved to Belize.
Yep.
Got over there. Not only had he done that, but he'd actually worked on the stealth fighter. He wrote software for that, which was innovative. He did a lot of things even before the McAfee. Smart guy. And they got over there, you know, and he got a little bit wild out there.
Yeah.
Folks, you would too if you had to provide your own security night and day. Rick, you were a police officer one time.
Yeah.
Thank God for the police officers. If we didn't have police officers, it would be chaos.
Hey, man, I did bodyguard work, too. I know about that personal security. That's another trip in itself, man.
I've lived in other countries where, literally, you have to protect yourself. And then when you start having to think, well, you know what, there could be someone to break in tonight, you have to take extra precautions. You get a little bit on edge. And that's where McAfee was, and that's what they wanted to highlight.
Yeah.
But the key is they wanted to tarnish this guy's reputation because he has come back to America and he's got inspiration again to get out there and create some cutting edge pieces of software to protect our privacy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's focusing on the mobile phone. But I went over just to check out what he was doing. And he's got some really good interviews up on YouTube where he has been researching how the government has been encroaching in our security, and they've got these Stingray antenna arrays. Have you heard of these?
I have, yeah.
Stingrays, okay? They're these little antenna systems that are very powerful. They're more powerful than most cell phone towers.
Right.
And when your phone goes out to touch with a tower, it'll go out to whoever has the most strongest signal. Mm-hmm. And what these Stingray antennas are doing is they're hijacking cell phones, and when you log into that, it will mimic the cell phone tower, and it can also send a instruction code to your cell phone to update the software and basically can put a back door in there. Now the key of it is it's made by it's a company that makes the agencies and companies that buy these sign a privacy statement that they cannot reveal, you know, who they bought it from.
Yeah.
There's a non-disclosure agreement. And you begin to ask the law enforcement, who owns these antennas? We don't know. And really, nobody knows who owns these things except for the people who bought them and the people who sold them.
They're buried layers deep. You'll never find out. Right.
Yet they have the capability to hijack your phone and put on spyware and Trojan horse software.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the government is also, you know, trying to coerce and successfully has many of the software companies out there. And you know, Google, Skype, Amazon, eBay, all the, you know, the mail servers, to give them a back door so that they can get in and snoop.
Yep, that's what it is.
And Mac was talking about how they're even activating webcams and they're able to disable the light.
Oh, wow.
They can be snooping on you and you don't know it. Yeah. For that reason, Rick, he built this piece of software. I tried it out. And what it will do is it will actually give you an audible alert if someone tries to access the phone camera or your webcam camera. For them to invest time to build this kind of software means the government is doing it, and actually some school systems have been caught spying on their students whom they were given school-issued laptops to.
Yeah.
They did like this like 20,000 times, and they were watching people nude.
Oh, my.
Nobody busted them.
Mm-mm.
No. What's going on here, Rick, when you got Xbox One, where it's got voice recognition, and now the Windows 10, you have to disable it if you don't want it. They want you to go to Google search by voice, and they actually keep an ongoing log file, okay, once you activate that software, of any audio that's picked up in your room. It's just saved in a file. And temporary, you know, periodically it can be uploaded to their servers. They want to have 24-hour access to your microphone and the ability to access your video feed. This is not science fiction.
No.
It's going on right now.
And it, when they get your voice on enough recordings, you understand they can manufacture you saying something that you never said. And people think that, oh, this is out there. No, folks, it's not out there. Listen to me. When they can find Bugs Bunny within 10 minutes on that should make you realize we are on probably borrowed time doing these broadcasts. I'm telling you what's going to happen. There's going to be tighter and tighter control come in. And when you or one of your guests, Shannon, says one of those words on, quote, the list that they'll have or the topic gets off, you will mysteriously go off. They will hit the switch and you'll go off. Now, you may know that they turned you off, or you may not know that they turned you off. They may let you try to figure it out, but you'll never figure it out because they have the switch. They've got the control, and this is all automatic. Now, no one is having to sit at a keyboard and listen to your conversation and transcribe it. The power of automation, there's something called an autoresponder that if you've ever done email campaigns or you get an email list, you know all that junk mail that you get that you hate that's in your inbox every day when you open up your email? That comes from something called an autoresponder. That means somewhere a long time ago, you put your email in to some little thing that this guy said, hey, give me your email and I'll send you this free booklet. When you did that, he never touched you. He doesn't know you. You went into something called his autoresponder. And from then until eternity, you get these little emails every day because it's automatically took your name and you're in this sequence of things. This guy's not writing to you personally. He doesn't even know you exist, but you're getting these on an autoresponder thing. And as Shannon said, how easy it is to go into his Yahoo Mail, the same thing with me and my Outlook or any mail program, and type in one word, and it'll pull up 1,000, 10,000, 100,000, however many emails contain this word. If we can do that on the user end, oh my. They're finding Bugs Bunny. So we have entered a new reality here, folks. And you're right. All of those things that Edward Snowden is talking about, oh my. They're building dossiers on us, man.
Just for mentioning him, we're on the list already.
You better believe it right now. So there's a price to pay for this stuff. And it is one of the things they do. They have access to your computer. And if you really get under their saddle with with some of the stuff you're saying, they will come in and they will put stuff on your computer, and then you'll have a little visit from the FBI, and they'll say, we need to confiscate your computer. And they'll take it and they'll find some kind of file on there that you never seen in your life. But because they have access, they can put them on there. And that's one of the things they do to take you out and to nullify you. So all of these things, I'm saying, as fast as we can, get as much Holy Ghost power in you. Get as much from these broadcasts as you can, because there's coming a time quickly where weird stuff's going to start happening with this broadcast. Do you agree, Shannon?
I do. Rick, all they've got to do is get your Mac IP address, which is unique to every device.
Yep.
Or hone in on your internet IP, and they can start tracking you. There's a documentary out right now. It's called Citizen 4, and it's footage behind the scenes that follows Edward Snowden when he first decided to break the news and had to go on the run, and it follows him through Hong Kong and a couple of these countries, and then it ends before he gets into Russia. Amazing. As he's being interviewed in his hotel, you know, he's explaining how even, you know, the phone there in the hotel room can have the mic turned on and activated, and they haven't even picked up the handset. You know, it's called roving wiretaps. I'm looking at my iPhone sitting here on my desk.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not using it because I'm talking to you through my, you know, through my Skype.
Mm-hmm.
They can activate the microphone here in my cell phone and your landline if you still have one of those. They can turn that mic on and make it hot, and they can hear everything going on in the room and record it. Now, that technology is over 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But with the supercomputers, okay, and the leaps we have in technology, man, it's all automated. And there are lists going on big time. There were lists on Hillary Clinton's computer in the White House when she was in office. And they were collecting names then, okay? And speaking of Hillary Clinton, they said she lost, what, 20,000 emails? I mean, the bottom line is she got away with murder. All I want to say about Hillary Clinton is if she gets in office, I think I have to keep my promise to the Lord. I said that if she gets in office, I've got to leave the country. Mm-hmm. Brother, I don't think I could bear to be here if she's here. I don't know where I would go.
Yeah, it's not going to matter if you leave, because
the
world's going to be in such chaos that you're just going to have to hunker down and, as I say, shelter in place, brother.
Brother, listen, I mean, I just want to vomit 24 hours a day if she gets in office. I mean, it's terrible to think what's going to happen with that lady in here. Yeah. She's wicked. And yes, I ask God to forgive her of her sins and pour out his goodness, mercy, and grace on her. But if she's not willing to, I ask God that, oh, man, I just.
Fruit. Man, look at her fruit. All you have to do is look at the fruit, and you know what.
Pray for her.
Yeah.
I mean, she's so wicked. I don't even want to pray for her.
No.
I'm tired of what's going on here in America. But you know what? We also need to be tired of the sin,
right,
in our own lives and in the church, because we're getting what we deserve in this country if we don't repent.
Amen. We are. That's what's
God
happening.
God sent us what we have. We reap what we sow. You know, I believe God even sent Obama.
Yeah.
As terrible as that is to say, because of the sin of the church. You know, I couldn't believe the Christians, Rick, that were wanting to vote for him the first time, let alone the second time. A guy that made it clear he has no problem murdering children. You know, everything that we warned about, he's went and done. He's for abortion. He promotes homosexuality. He goes and lobbies for it in other countries. I mean,
wickedness.
Wicked man. And Hillary's even more wicked.
Yeah. This is a setup for the, you ain't seen wicked yet. Wait until she gets in there. It's gonna be a ride, because listen, Shannon.
God have mercy.
If she gets in there, she will know she's unstoppable. To this point, nothing has stopped her. Anyone else, anyone would be in jail at this point for what she did with her those documents. They would be in jail now. They'd maybe out on bond waiting trial, but they would be in the legal system. If she gets away with all this, she will know she's untouchable. And when she knows that, God literally help us all, because nothing can stop her. And she will know that. And she has that Jezebel spirit. And you know how Jezebel literally ran the country. You know how that turned out.
Rick, she's a mean lady.
Yes.
I remember listening to the G. Gordon Liddy show every day. I would work. That was usually playing her Howard Stern in The Office. I prefer to listen to G. Gordon Liddy.
Yeah, I like G. Gordon Liddy, too.
But he was exposing a lot of what was going on when her and her husband were in The Office. And it was like every week some scandal, you know, the body count. But I remember one story of somebody that actually liked the lady. And they sent her a gift to the White House. And it had some eagle feathers on it. You know what she did?
What?
It was a beautiful gift someone had handmade. I think they were Native American. She the story was they had found the, you know, the feathers. They were on the ground, I think, is what it was, you know. You know, these eagles will molt and they'll shed their leaves, right? I mean, shed their feathers.
Yeah.
Someone finds them on the ground. Well, according to her, you should have left them there. Because this person made a beautiful sculpture and it had some eagle feathers in there, sent it to Hillary. She received it all right, and then she promptly turned them over to Fish and Wildlife for prosecution for a felony offense.
Good Lord.
That actually happened, and that's one of many things that lady did. She's wicked. She didn't care about that, didn't care about the people who were about to die over there in Benghazi, all these back room closet deals. Okay? She's a man in a woman's body.
Wicked.
And I don't like the lady. She's wicked, and she's Jezebel. And I've honestly said for many years, I wonder if she's the lady that rides the beast.
Wow.
I mean, figuratively. I mean, this is really bad. We're live right now with Pastor Rick Bell. We went into overtime. We're going to have Curtis Horst tonight.
Oh, good. Curtis, yeah.
He's on the road tonight. Folks couldn't make it. But he'll be back another time. He sent his love, and keep him in prayer. He's in transition as we speak.
Good.
Set a new location. But Rick, what I want to ask you is, knowing all that is coming, what can we do but pray?
We're going to have to pray, and we're going to have to realize the significance of Queen Jezebel taking over the leadership of this country. Remember what happened to Elijah, the mighty prophet who called down the fire against the 400 prophets of Baal. He ran for his life from this woman. He ran. He was in such fear. So what you're saying, Shannon, is how this woman is evil. There is going to be a fear that grips this land. Mark my words. That when that Jezebel takes leadership, just like Elijah, this man was a prophet of God, a powerful, mighty prophet. And he ran for his life. You know the story. 1 Kings 19, look it up. He ran for his life. So that's what we're going to be facing. So all of the spiritual warriors out there right now, more than ever, Holy Spirit saturation, walk around and start to put your blinders on to the lies. In other words, when you see a lie, call it out. That's a lie. When you hear something, say, that's a lie. When the world tells you need to live a certain way, this is okay, say, no, no, that's a lie. Now, you don't have to verbally necessarily say that out loud. You may sometimes, but just say it to yourself. Keep yourself from buying the lie. An interesting thing happened, and we'll close with this. In Nazi Germany, there was a man named Joseph Goebbels. And Joseph Goebbels was Adolf Hitler's minister of, this was his title, Minister of Public Enlightenment. He was the Minister of Public Enlightenment, and what that means is he lied. He was the one who spread the lies, and he discovered they did all kinds of tests and experiments to see how they could move the masses of these people to believe what this madman Adolf Hitler was telling them. And they found out that here's the two things to make a lie believable. It has to be a big lie, and it has to be repeated over and over and over. In other words, he found the bigger the lie, the easier it is to sell. Now, that it's contrary to what common sense tells you. You think, well, people would believe little lies. No, he found the more outrageous the lie was, the easier it was to sell, and the repetitive nature of it. If you hear it enough, if you hear enough that homosexual marriage is okay. You know, it's okay. It's between two consenting adults. It's what they do. How does that affect you? How does that affect me? If you hear that enough, it softens you up. If you see enough sitcoms with homosexual characters in them like there have been for the last 10 years. I don't know what even the name of the show is, but there's, you know, sitcoms, and they feature homosexual guys, and they're paired up with a roommate who's a girl, and there's some kind of a little storyline that goes with all that. You see that enough, and you've been conditioned to just accept it. So that's where we are right now. You're being fed this stuff, so you're going to have to continue to put your spiritual discernment ears on and not let the lies get in, because they'll saturate you and you'll start to fall into that category. So, Shannon, with that, I'm going to hand it back to you and say God bless you, man.
Rick, I want you to give out your contact information. Tell people how they can reach you in your ministry, and support it, please.
I'd be happy to. Go to my website, www.heavenlywarriors.com, HEAVENLY, WARRIORS.com. There's a video on the front page I want you to see, and it's that spiritual portal thing. It's amazing. You got to see this. Go there, and you can email me at rick@heavenlywarriors.com, R-I-C-K. @heavenlywarriors.com. And I would love to hear from you if you'd like to support the ministry. It's greatly appreciated. Right there on the website, there's a PayPal button, and you can click that, and any amount, every amount, everything that comes in is really appreciated. And if you would, if you'd like to send snail mail, you can send that to P.O. Box 2094, Belton, Texas, B-E-L-T-O-N, Texas, 76513.
Some people have contacted me to say, does Pastor Rick Bell, does he take calls for ministry? If someone wants to reach you for some deliverance or prophetic ministry, do you take calls? Are they able to reach you?
They are. I've been, of course, out of town for a while. I'm just now getting back into the routine. So for the past 6 weeks, probably 2 months, I've been out of pocket. But yeah, the best thing to do is to email me at, again, rick@heavenlywarriors.com, and we'll set up a time. I'm in the process of doing some callbacks right now. As a matter of fact, I've got a couple I have to make as soon as I get off of this radio interview, and I'll be making some calls. So yeah, I do that, and as much as time will allow, you know, some of it, it's time intensive, and I try to set aside time when we can focus on that. I don't like to be distracted and, you know, have to run out the door to go do something when I'm going to be praying, because the Holy Spirit will start to speak to me, and I like to flow in that there.
Praise the Lord. Rick, and what is the email address to reach you at?
rick@heavenlywarriors.com.
Praise the Lord. Rick, I want to thank you for going into overtime. Now, we have Brother Rick on every week, except when he's on the road. We'll have him on next week, same time. Brother Rick, would you like to close in prayer?
Yes. Thank you, Father God, for this word that you sent forth. Thank you for giving us the ability to discern things when you send them to us. And I pray for everyone out there listening. I pray that the Holy Spirit right now begin to pour down on them and manifest right there in those living rooms where they are, right in the bedroom, right in the kitchen, right in that truck that man's driving. Hallelujah. People listening to this on their smartphones right now, that there's an anointing that flows over this airway right now and touches them and starts to burn out those areas, burn them off, clean them up. And the areas where they've been compromised, where they've lived compromised to this point. And in the name of Jesus, we pray that everyone is kept safe, and that until we come back next week and break the bread of life again in your word, Lord Jesus, that we be doers of the word and not just hearers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Love and appreciate you, Rick. Thank you for coming on tonight. And for the archive, what shall we title tonight's broadcast?
Living in a World Without Truth.
In a world without truth. Boy, that is the truth.
Yeah, that's the truth. No pun intended.
Love and appreciate you, Rick. I'll see you next time.
God bless you, brother.